Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rachel, I wanted nothing more than to be able to start off this podcast on Friday talking about the e-bug that could have played for the St. Louis Blues this week, but it didn't happen. It didn't happen.
No, he did get a really nice, intro skate, though. Mm. So, you know, he'll be able to at least say that. He put on the uniform. Yep. He skated out there in warm-ups, took some shots, like... I think that's enough for him.
It's a cool experience. That's probably so fun for those guys, especially when they're not even, you know, it's not like guys that were just outside the NHL. Like a lot of times, like here, it was a guy that's just really playing beer league right now for, he was the emergency backup goaltender for the Blues Lightning game the other night because Jordan Binnington was placed on the COVID list. By the way, Locked On NHL podcast. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. Joe DiBiase and Rachel Donner. Here on the podcast on Friday. So yeah, Binnington tested positive for the coronavirus. He goes into COVID protocols. Charlie Lindgren, their backup goaltender, could not be called up from the American Hockey League in time. And they turned to Kyle Konen, I believe his name is. How you pronounce his last name? Grand Valley State in Michigan. He does custom paint jobs on goalie masks is what he is doing currently. 23 years old. So it would have been cool. It would have been cool. I actually went to YouTube and looked up the why is his name escaping? Who's the Chicago e-bug from a couple of years ago? I don't know why his name is escaping me now. He was like an accountant who was like 40 that had played in college hockey like 10
Scott
years.
Scott Foster?
Before. Scott Foster, thank you. That would have been cool to see, but Ville Husso stayed through. Good for him, not rooting for injury at all. Anyways, we got a lot to get to on today's podcast. We have Stadium Series uniforms to talk about. There is some news in Montreal this week, and they are just changing their entire organization seemingly right now in the hockey operations department with Jeff Gorton being hired. They kind of made a workaround, it seems, of their mandate to be bilingual for their general manager, so I do want to talk about that and who might become their general manager. There's a guy that might be the favorite right now that we both know well from playing for both of our teams that we covered, Sabres and Flyers. And then the power rankings from the Locked On NHL Podcast Network this week. We will go through what our surprises were of that and then preview some of the top games coming up this weekend in the National Hockey League. But there's news on Kyle Beach. And Rachel, I'll tee you up on this, that like there's a roundtable coming on Monday, right? And also, I saw that the Blackhawks motioned to have Beach's lawsuit thrown out over statute of limitations. There's a lot going on, or at least there's an update on that.
Yeah, so we talked about this before, but the Blackhawks and Kyle Beach and his attorney are scheduled for a mediation session on December 15th. That's supposed to, you know, try and help settle this lawsuit. But in the meantime, the Blackhawks have filed this motion to dismiss saying that the statute of limitations on this has run out, which apparently in the law there is a 2-year limit. And Kyle Beach is suggesting that that doesn't apply because there is a repressed memory issue that has been within the last 2 years. So, there's been a lot of criticism, I'd say, of the Blackhawks for filing this motion because it's a little disingenuous relative to what they've been saying in terms of their, you know, empathy toward him and they're really wanting to settle. And this is sort of a legal move. And Rick Westhead, who's, again, been one of the lead reporters on this, suggested that, you know, people who say, oh, this is just a lawyer thing, you know, Kyle Beach's attorney is saying no, because, again, the Blackhawks have apologized for saying that Kyle Beach's allegations lacked merit. And through the investigation, it's very clear that there is merit here and, you know, that the Wirtzes are making a choice to raise the statute of limitations issue. And it's really just all putting pressure on how this, you know, mediation negotiation is going to go.
Yeah. I wonder if they weighed the PR ramifications of it at all. and if they just even felt that there was any value to it. I mean, morally, I feel like you might not raise the issue in the first place, because like people were tweeting like, okay, so you're asking to have the lawsuit thrown out because you kept it a secret for this long, and like that's why you're doing it. But also, like, if you're the Blackhawks, like, just, I'm not saying make this go away, but the more it's in the news for them, it's bad for public relations, and especially when they're coming out and they're moving legal maneuvers like this. So it's, you know, like, I get the law end of it, but if Kyle Beach's attorney is saying that they don't think that that's strictly what they're doing here, I'm inclined to believe it a little bit, or at least consider it to be a possibility. And then this roundtable on Monday, did you go through the details of that? Do we really know what's going on for Kyle Beach on Monday?
Well, no. So this roundtable is a discussion about this story and kind of what it okay. means for the NHL in general, and what it, you know, what do we think the NHL should be doing and could be doing better sure. moving forward to avoid stuff like this in the future. And it was actually hosted by Erica from Locked On Kraken.
Yep.
And it's myself, Jay from Locked On Columbus Blue Jackets, and Anne from the Locked On Nashville Predators show. So a nice group from the NHL Locked On crew, and that'll be out in feeds, including on this show's YouTube channel on Monday.
All right, so looking forward to that. We'll get to a more, what's the word I want here? A sillier subject. We'll move on to less serious matter here. We are going to go the complete polar opposite when it comes to less serious subject matter. And that is with the Stadium Series uniforms that were yes. released on Thursday for the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Nashville Predators. So I want your opinion on both of them, but let me start with Tampa. Pass or fail for you on the Lightning Stadium Series uniforms?
Absolutely pass.
Okay.
No question here.
And then what about the Predators uniforms? Pass or fail?
I'm going to give it a pass, but just barely. I think okay. there. I think there's one other option they could have done, which probably would have been better for me, but I get what they were doing.
What was what other option? What would you have preferred they did?
So once I heard the explanation about why the font is the way it is for the Smashville lettering, I was like, oh, that makes sense. That, you know, it's based on how a lot of the music leaflets and posters are styled in Nashville. And once I remembered that and like it clicked in terms of I've been around Nashville, I've seen them, it made perfect sense. And I said, oh, that's great. It makes sense. Don't change a thing. But I think prior to that, I really would have preferred them take out the word Smashville and just increase the size of the Guitar Pick logo with the three stars, because I love that logo.
Yeah, me too. It's super good. It kind of blends in, like you said, because it's the same color as the Smashville font, and it's kind of just stuck in the middle there. But yeah, I didn't realize that either, that it was the old letterpress from like jazz posters, even like from way back in the day for Nashville. So there is a historical reason why they did it the way they did with the Smashville fonts. Now that like I kind of understand that, like they're good. I definitely do like the Tampa Bay uniforms better, though. The lightning bolt at the bottom, like, I think that's pretty cool. I like that they didn't do anything. They just left the shoulders white. There's no striping at all.
Yes.
Go ahead.
That's the best part of it for me. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of jerseys without stripes, because stripes are such an, like, it's, I hesitate to call it lazy, but it's just an easy go-to to break up color blocks. And I understand it from a design perspective, but I think, you know, getting some extra creativity in a design without any stripes gets huge marks from me. And it actually reminds me, you know, when you have a design like that at the bottom of the jersey, it reminds me a lot of the Connecticut Whale jerseys from the NWHL/PHF. They have a wave at the bottom in like the green and blue, so it looks like the ocean that the whales are swimming in, with the logo above it. It's really nice. You should check it out.
Yes.
But just, it gives me that same feeling, which I absolutely love.
I had to remind myself what those look like, but you're right. Like, because I always, when I first saw them, I did actually, I think, did they have those uniforms? When I did play-by-play for the NWHL, their first inaugural season for the Buffalo Buttes, I I thought it was the Whale that had like a creative jersey like that, but I'm just reminding myself that now, that I used to think that like their jerseys were like tucked and that was like what that little like wave was, but it's actually a design, so it's really cool. No, I agree. Everything you said about like the lack of striping or like them going about it and not having that, I think is totally right. And I definitely like the Lightning uniforms more. The only jerseys we're waiting to see now for like outdoor games, the Heritage Classic between the Maple Leafs and the Sabres. We'll see if they get creative with it. I want so badly the Sabres to go with something with their former red and black color scheme.
No Buffa Slug?
No Buffa Slug at all. No, please. God, no. Maybe they do it, though. I don't know what they'll do. They could go. They've had so many different uniform combinations over the years that who knows. But I'd like to see the red and black color scheme just because there's a lot of fans of my generation that grew up with that being the Sabres, like, just red and black, like not blue and gold. And it's kind of that history has been ignored by the organization since then. This would be a cool opportunity, I think, for them to do that. So hopefully they do, but we'll see. I think next couple weeks that is supposed to be announced. When we come back, I want to talk about the Montreal Canadiens, all their changes going about in the front office of their organization. And maybe we'll toss around a little bit who should be next, the next team to maybe blow things up around the league. So we'll do that in a second, but I want to remind you this podcast is brought to you by Boost Mobile. You can listen to podcasts for the power of the inside track. You switch to Boost Mobile for the power of saving money, because with Boost, you get the power of a free 5G phone so you can listen to the latest episodes and keep up with your favorite players and teams. The power of 3 unlimited data lines for $30 a month per line so your family can share all the insights, and the power of America's largest 5G networks so you can do it all at the speed of 5G. With all that money you'll save and all that edge you'll gain, just how powerful will you become? Switch to Boost Mobile and find out. Get a free Samsung Galaxy A32 5G when you switch to one of America's largest 5G networks. More power to save. Boost Mobile. Free phone limited to new customers and one per line. Additional restrictions apply. Offers, coverage not available everywhere or for all phones, networks. See boostmobile.com for details. Joe DiBiase and Rachel Donner here on the Locked On NHL podcast on a Friday. There's a lot of changes, sweeping changes going on in the Montreal Canadiens organization. Jeff Gorton, former general manager of the New York Rangers, and also prior to that working with the Boston Bruins, he is now the president of hockey operations for Montreal. And like, Rachel, I have a theory on this. I think he's the GM. I think like the Canadiens have this, I don't even know if it's official. They have this bilingual mandate that their general manager must have in order to be able to talk to and connect with their French speaking fan base. I feel like this might be their way around it. I think they just want Gorton making the moves in the front office. He doesn't know French. He said he's going to try to learn it. He actually had a funny quote about that he's going to do his best to learn it, but he's been trying to learn golf for 30 years and he still stinks at golf. So no promises of how good he'll get at it.
Oh no.
So like, my thought is he's just going to be running things from a different title. They're going to bring in, I don't know what, puppet is too strong a word. I don't want to say that, but almost like a general manager that will almost be closer to an assistant general manager below him. And I don't know, is he worth that to you? Like, it's not like the Rangers were this powerhouse. I like that they made moves there, but I don't know. Any thoughts for you on what Montreal did this week in the last 2 weeks, kind of just blowing up the whole front office?
I mean, it was probably the right move for them at this point, given how things were going, and Bergevin had been there too long.
Yeah.
He had just been there way too long, and it's the natural order of things in sports that it is very rare that you get management that sticks around for more than a 4 to 5 year tenure.
Yeah.
And so it was just one of those things that the combination of that relationship being stale and the team itself, you know, going from granted a sort of miracle Stanley Cup final run, but to where they are right now, it just seemed like maybe the time was right for Montreal to do this. And, you know, I don't think Gorton is the greatest GM in the world, but I think he's a solid pick for them. And I think he'll be really good there.
Me too. He made some good moves in New York. He did a great job developing goaltenders while he was there. I mean, Igor Shesterkin is maybe a top five goalie in the league right now. Alex Georgiev's had a tough season, but he had been a really good young goaltender before that.
Absolutely.
So I think it's a solid hire. I think they needed to do something in a your mid-season. So in the month of December, maybe it was going to be hard to do better than Gorton because he was available. You could have waited till after the year, but the way the season has gone, they wanted to get going on that. So he's going to be president of hockey operations, and now we're kind of wondering who their general manager is going to be. And the guy that is being talked about a lot right now and then makes total sense to me is a guy that we both know well from both playing with the Sabres and with the Philadelphia Flyers. Danny Briere is a serious candidate for that job. Now, it'd be a big step up. That's why I almost wonder if it's almost more of a GM just by title job, because he'd be jumping from general manager of the Maine Mariners in the ECHL to general manager of the Montreal Canadiens. That's a huge step forward. You know?
Yeah, he's not ready yet. I think it's a good name just because everybody is just trying to think about people who speak French and, you know, right, and are from there, who has at least a little bit of experience, and his name comes up, yep, of course, but there is no way that he is ready yet. And I just think this would be a bad move for him personally. I think that, you know, if there was an assistant GM position, even though this GM position in Montreal somewhat feels like an assistant GM position, it's not. Right. And ultimately, because of the titling that they're putting together there, if things go south, the GM is the first one that's going to go.
Yeah, good right? point.
It's not somebody that's underneath. So if they're looking to hire an assistant GM for this team and have an extra person who speaks French, I think Danny Briere could maybe slot in there. And especially if he's sort of more behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's a good point,
something
though.
Something like that.
Because, like, you're right, like, it does go on his resume. Like, you might only be that by title, and you might not have as much say in the operating procedure of your organization as other GMs, but you'll get judged based on your tenure there. And if it goes poorly and you're out of the job, and that could disrupt all these years of kind of building yourself up as an executive and learning on the job that Briere's done in the minors. So, yeah, I'm not sure it makes sense for him, but we'll see. Eric Engels of Sportsnet said that he is getting serious consideration. So if it's not him, there are other candidates around, like Matthew Darche of the in the hockey operations department in Tampa Bay. Martin Madden, I saw mentioned, he's the assistant GM for the Ducks. One other name I just wanted to throw by you for this. He's always listed in the odds. I don't know if I've seen anywhere that he's actually being interviewed or is getting consideration. But everybody is throwing Patrick Waugh's name out there right now for this.
Well, I just don't see it. I mean, he's just too volatile.
Right. Like, if you're Gorton, they you need want stability. Him below you?
Mm-mm.
If I'm Jeff Gorton, I don't want... Patrick Waugh might be the last guy I'd want to hire. Because... yeah, no, you're right. Volatile is the right word to put it. That's the right way to put it. Maybe they hire him as coach, but I don't know if Waugh wants to do that. He's talked about wanting to be an executive. But I don't know. One of these guys probably gets the job because those are the four names that have been mentioned the most.
What about Luke Robitaille?
Luke Robitaille, is he working for the Kings right now still? Where is he? Yeah, he's the president of the Los Angeles Kings. So would he go from president of the Kings to... Now, he's not president of Hockey Ops, though. That's Rob Blake. He's president of... So he's almost maybe more in the business department.
Yeah, he is.
So
he's on the other side.
That's a good thought, though, because if he wants to jump over to the hockey side, I mean, that's a pretty good spot to do it in Montreal. And he's been around the Kings so long that I think he'd be more ready than a guy like Briere that we mentioned. That's a good name, though, Robitaille. Real quick, any team come to mind for you, the next team that should do what Montreal did, kind of blow things up?
I mean, the Flyers.
Really? Are you ready for that? Is that what Flyer fans are for? Ready?
I mean, a lot of Flyers fans are ready for it. I don't know if everybody is, but I think it's not blow everything up in terms of maybe the front office yet, but I certainly think there's a groundswell in terms of the coaching staff. I think that's kind of where a lot of people are right now, that it'll show a lot in terms of how people feel about Chuck Fletcher and the rest of the front office if they're willing to make a move on the coaching staff. Because when your entire team has execution problems,
yeah,
that's kind of on the coach, right?
Yeah. So what would this be for, though? Like, is this for let's kind of bring new people in, new coach in, even if it's Vigneault that goes first, and like let's try to win right now? Or like, what are we talking about? Like a rebuild for them?
Well, I mean, I think the team will have to turn it around real quickly to not have a rebuild in the conversation.
Okay.
I don't know if a rebuild is 100% necessary at this point, but they will have to turn it around to not like quiet those thoughts out there. And I think that, you know, a good first move might be to fire Michel Therrien, who's been running one of the worst power plays in the NHL. And it was great before he started coaching the power play, or at least pretty solid for the most part. Great for a couple of years, but pretty solid otherwise. And then he started running it and it's not good. So I think that would be what people would refer to as a good start.
Gotcha. My team for this would be, this is kind of an easy one, but the Vancouver Canucks.
Yes.
Their owner met with GM Jim Benning a couple weeks ago, didn't make any changes, but they're not good. He's been there a long time. They've not had much success while he's been there. Travis Green at head coach almost feels like a dead man walking right now. Like everyone expects him to be the next coach fired. I was listening to someone talk about the Canucks recently. Maybe it was Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, that like he's, I don't know what they're waiting for. Like they know that they're going to do it, but he's still coaching. So like what's a week or two going to do to change anything? Maybe they're getting an interim lined up or something, but it feels like there are changes coming there. If not during this season, then maybe after the season. And I think the Canucks are, they're primed for a blow up here, similar to what Montreal did. All right. We're going to take another timeout when we come back. Power ranking surprises from this week on the NHL power rankings here at Locked On NHL. And then we'll preview some of the top games coming up this weekend in the National Hockey League. That's coming your way in just a minute. Bet Online, though, has you covered for all season. More props, odds, lines than ever before. Football season continues to march to the playoffs. We got college football, conference championships coming up. BetOnline is your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to their new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus from basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Do not wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts.
This holiday season, grab the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar or even better than a candy bar, and that's Built Bar. It's filled with so much holiday goodness. It's rich with decadent flavor, but it's amazingly low in calories, sugar, net carbs, and fat, but high in protein. You get the best of both worlds. Built Bar is delicious and healthy. And there's so many flavors to choose from, you'll have a hard time deciding. Are you going to have raspberry or mint brownie, cherry or double chocolate, cookies and cream, or peanut butter brownie? Built Bar gives you that extra fuel you need to bust down those mall doors and battle all the holiday shoppers. Built Bar can give you that extra something to keep you going. So throw one in your jacket or purse. You never know when you're going to need it. And here's a holiday secret for you. Dip your Built Bar into a piping hot cup of cocoa, let it melt a little, and give your beverage a bit of that Built Bar flavor. And if you like those marshmallowy treats around the holidays, you need to get your hands on Built Bar Puffs. They're light, fluffy, and taste so good you won't believe that they're filled with protein. So go to Built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com.
Joe DiBiase, Rachel Donner here on the Locked On NHL podcast. If you follow us on Twitter at Locked On Network, you might have saw our NHL power rankings that were released earlier in the week. I have a couple of teams that I was, well, one team that I was surprised to find where they were, and another one where I completely understand where they are, but I would have them higher. I'll start with that team, and then Rachel, I'll go to you for like a team that you were surprised by Actually, before I even do that, your Flyers are finally out of the middle. 23rd.
Yeah, they're down, which is appropriate. So yeah. I'm not complaining. 16th, they're not
the
good 23rd. Right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, the team I was thinking should be higher, but I know I don't expect them to be higher, I guess, because of their results. I'm actually impressed by the Seattle Kraken. I've watched like three or four of their games in the last 2 weeks, and like they generate chances. Like they have the puck. Like that top line, like Eberle is really generating a lot of offense. Jaden Schwartz too. Chris Tanev has been dynamite for them on their second line. But the one thing, and I guess I shouldn't separate it too much because this is a part of your team, but they cannot buy a save right now. Between Philip Grubauer and Chris Driedger, they're dead last in the NHL in PDO, which is just a combination of shot percentage and save percentage, which that stat usually kind of shows how lucky or unlucky a team is. So we've got the Kraken sitting down at 29. They moved up one spot from 30. They're not a team that I think should be a lot higher right now. Like, I understand why they are where they are, but I would just say, like, they're going to be on the rise in the next couple weeks. So I just wanted to throw that a shout out their way. Was there a team you were surprised by where they ended up in our power rankings?
Yeah, the Dallas Stars. I mean, they should be in the top half. You know, they should probably be in the 10 to 15 range, I think, in the rankings, especially how they've performed recently. You know, they've been on a winning streak. They've been a lot more successful recently, and it's shocking to me that they're at 22 right now. And again, you know, if you're looking at predictions overall versus the power rankings are a snapshot in time, and right now the Dallas Stars are much better than 22.
Yeah, they're on a 6-game win streak right now, and they're in third place in the Central Division. The Central is so close right now, other than Minnesota. Like, Minnesota's at the top with 33 points. And then second through sixth, St. Louis is at 27 points in second. Winnipeg is in sixth at 24 points. And you've got Dallas, Colorado, and Nashville just kind of bunched up together there in the middle. You'd have Dallas higher. Would you? I see them as a playoff team right now. But again, it's very crowded there in the Central.
Yeah, I think they are too, barring a disaster. I think they seem like a team that can keep this going.
You said you would have had them in the teens.
Yeah.
I think I voted them at 18th. I think I remember that. One other team that I'm a little bit surprised by, the Ducks at 12. I figured because they've started to kind of peter off here that because this happens in power rankings a lot where you kind of revert to your preseason expectation if a team is struggling and you thought they were going to be bad at the beginning. Everyone thought the Ducks were horrible going into the season. They rattled off like that 8-9 game win streak, whatever they had. They rocketed to the top of the standings. And then as of late, they're playing closer to .500 hockey. And I thought they would see a big drop, but they're still hanging around there at number 12 in our power rankings. So the Ducks was another team that I was thinking, I'm not disputing they should be at 12, because I actually think they've been a pretty good team this year. Trevor Zegras has been awesome. But I thought that they were going to go way down when they started to go back to that .500 hockey play in the last couple of weeks. What games are you looking forward to the most this weekend?
Yeah, I think for tonight, you know, you have to go with the West Coast, Best Coast strategy, because I think for those games, you're looking at Calgary at the Ducks that you, you know, that you just talked about. I think that'll be a really good matchup. And then to your point about Seattle, I'm looking at Edmonton at Seattle, because you're right that the Kraken have played, you know, pretty solid, like, organizational hockey.
Yeah.
And they did beat Carolina and Florida recently. So, you know, a good test for them is, you know, can they do what they need to do and beat a team like Edmonton? And Seattle is number 2 in the NHL in preventing rush chances.
Ooh,
and so
okay.
They if can use that energy, maybe they can do something here.
Interesting. That's a good stat on them. They are plus 113. They're an underdog at home against the Oilers tonight at our partners at Bet Online. The game of the weekend is probably Minnesota and Toronto in terms of
absolutely.
Just like where you are points wise in the standings. And those are two teams that don't see each other often, obviously different conferences, Toronto tied for the most points in the league with 35. Minnesota tied for fourth with 33. Both cup contenders. Yeah, it's fair to say they're both cup contenders right now. And both are riding 5-game win streaks. That game is tomorrow at 7 o'clock. And then one other game I wanted to point out is the Flames and the Golden Knights Sunday night. That's the last game of the weekend. Sunday night at 10 o'clock. Vegas starting to get back on track a little bit here, although they've lost two in a row, so they were playing well really before this week. But still, like, they're hanging around in the standings. I mentioned they're in that group in the Central. And Calgary's just having a great season. So any chance you can get to watch the Flames right now, they're pretty entertaining to watch. All right. I think that's going to do it for us here on the Locked On NHL podcast. Rachel mentioned the roundtable on Monday. So one more time, if you want to preview, because you have a bunch of different hosts coming in for that, right?
Yep. It was led by Erica from Locked On Kraken with myself and Jay from the Columbus show and Anne from the Predators show.
So be sure to check that out. That's going to be in your feeds on Monday. So check that out. And then I'll be back with Mike DeStefano for this podcast on Tuesday. And me and Rachel will be back next Friday. So thanks, everybody, for listening, making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. Now go make your second listen, Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It is free and available on all platforms.